Hi, I'm Terrell Turner, the host of the Law and Finance Show. And today we have a great guest on because many, many business owners have mentioned that they didn't really know how to build a business until after they had to sell their first business. And because unfortunately, many of them never got the price that they thought they were going to get because there were some significant gaps in how they actually built the business. Well, today we have a specialist on that helps law firms really position their business for a sale that they will actually appreciate, any sale that they will actually like. Now, that process starts a little early. So I'm glad that we can talk to Victoria today because she's going to share some insight of things she's learned from her own businesses and from the law firms that she is now helping. So stay tuned for today's show. So without further ado, let me bring on my guest, Victoria. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Terrell. It's nice to be here.
Absolutely. Now, Victoria, now I've learned a lot about you from listening to your podcast. Plus, we met through a mutual friend of Kristen David. So for those that may not be familiar with your background, can you share a little bit about, you know, your background and your story?
Absolutely. So I, part of my background is that I moved out of my parents' house when I was 17, still in high school. And so I floundered for a while, which landed me into the military, which was a great experience. But part of my military experience was me becoming a paralegal for the military. And then I remained a paralegal in the civil sector until I decided to go to law school. And so after law school, I opened my own law firm right out of law school. I was 32 years old. I didn't know anything about business. The only thing I knew was what I had seen and observed from a lawyer that I worked with, which was primarily things not to do. And so I had confidence, though, because I am from Texas and everybody in Texas has confidence and I'm an Aries. So you know, add those two things together. So I opened my own practice right out of law school, doing something that I was very passionate about, and that was helping senior citizens. And the reason I was so passionate about it is one of those jobs I had while I was floundering before I enlisted in the military was I was a nurse's aide in a nursing home, and I did home health care. So I was doing hands-on care for the elderly, and I just absolutely loved it. I knew, however, it wasn't going to get me to my life goals, financially or otherwise, which is why I'm not a caregiver today in a professional sense. But doing elder law, I felt like I was actually in the health field more so than in the law field. And so I just absolutely loved it. So that's kind of my history into becoming a lawyer.
Nice, nice. Now, I guess, you know, throughout that process, like, you know, you mentioned about, you know, the job that you had before you went into the military, and, you know, at any point during that kind of stint or that job, did you ever see this as like, hey, this is actually going to play a role kind of down the line of where I would become? Or was it like, hey, this is what I was doing at that point in time until I figure out what's next?
You know, I never thought that I would ever become a lawyer. My role and goal in high school was to become a doctor. And I was on path for that. But when I moved out early, and I wasn't able to go to college very soon, things change. And what I did know was that I was really good at numbers, and I loved numbers, and I loved data. And so I actually enrolled in college to become an accountant, a CPA like you, except that during the foundational classes, I had a relationship that wasn't healthy for my academic life. And so I got behind, and that wasn't good. So I switched my majors to psychology. and so I'm really glad I did, though, because with psychology, they will always tell you, you can't get a job without another degree with psychology. And yet, while that could be true, I have used that psychology degree all throughout my legal career, managing and counseling clients and their families, especially those going through elder care issues. And now today in my current business, Quid Pro Quo, It's all about counseling lawyers on how to make a transition. And that's emotional. That's difficult. And so, no, I never envisioned myself as a lawyer. I didn't envision myself helping people build and sell valuable businesses. But all of my experiences has led to this incredible life that I have.
You know, that's a very interesting point because, you know, I would often tell people, it's like, even for myself, like I was trained as an accountant. I knew the technical side of that, but when it came down to running a business, understanding that human people element, like the psychology of decision-making, like I'm like, I wish that would have been more of a part of our accounting program, because I'm like, knowing the numbers, but just being able to apply it to people is very, very different. So I guess for you, it's like, how did the psychology help you? Did it help you at all in law school, or did it help you at all kind of when you first started your business?
I don't know that it helped me so much in law school because I didn't understand, you know, the psychology going on around the students around me. You know, I mean, I was an older student and, you know, I'd see some of these things these students would do. And I'm like, really? How are we in the same school? But when I got out, you know, they tell you, you are a counselor at law. And I really didn't understand that until I was in it. And being the chosen, you know, choosing the type of law I chose, I really started to understand why that was so valuable, how that was valuable. And then I went to get specialization training in mediation and negotiation and communication. So I have spent a lot of time and money to educate myself to become better in those three areas as a lawyer.
Nice, nice. I love it. Now, you know, after you kind of started your firm and you developed a brand, because it was something that you mentioned on, you know, one of your recent episodes of your podcast that I listened to about just kind of how you became more of a brand with your firm. Like when you were building your firm, did you have an intention of building a brand of being known for something? Or did you kind of approach it like most lawyers where I'll accept anybody who will pay me?
Well, as a paralegal, I learned early on, I was a paralegal in South Georgia. And there was a couple things I learned. Some of those I kept with me and some of those I threw out as trash. And one of those that I kept with me was niche. Have a specialty, don't be a general practitioner. And so when I went to law school, I didn't even know that elder law was a type of law. We've all heard of estate planning, but who wants to talk about death, right? I'd rather talk about how can you help someone live out the best of their life, the rest of their life, no matter what their age or ability is. And so that's what I set out to do. Did I just take anything that walked in the door? No. I did, however, take one case that I thought was, you know, similar because it was an elderly gentleman, but it was a temporary restraining order type situation. And that was the first time I said to myself, wait a second, there's, you know, there's still some borders. Just because you're old doesn't mean that I should take this case. So I really had to redefine what is elder law for me. And after that, I kind of stumbled into veterans benefits law and becoming the national expert in that. And then that became my brand. And that's because in order to get Medicaid benefits for an elderly client, which that is what elder law was at the time when I started. And keep in mind, Terrell, you know, when I started 20 years ago, elder law was not this huge practice area. In the state of Georgia, there were maybe five lawyers that's what they specialized in. And so, no, I did not think to myself, well, let me go and, you know, topple all of these elder law attorneys off. That wasn't my thinking. It was, how can I serve the population I want to serve? It was when I was doing what I was trained to do, which was Medicaid, that I then found that veterans benefits was required before you could get Medicaid if the person was eligible for it. But then not only was it required, what I discovered was it can actually be beneficial before you need Medicaid, years before, to keep you out of a nursing home. And that's where my personal mission comes in, which is how can I help you live a better life the rest of your life? And oftentimes that means staying out of a nursing home. that's when I realized, oh my gosh, there's information out there people don't know. It just so happened that I was a veteran and I could use that to my advantage. I could build my brand, but I didn't start building my brand until people started calling me Victoria the Veteran Lady, Victoria the Veteran Attorney. And then I ran with it.
Now, I guess when you're working with other lawyers, do you ever notice that lawyers kind of struggle to accept what their brand is and build from that? Or is it, do you notice that lawyers have a struggle, or do lawyers tend to like really recognize like, hey, this is what my brand is, let me run with it?
I would say that lawyers struggle with anything business, and that they're really focused on being a lawyer. And so I don't think they have enough awareness to know what their brand is, if they have a brand. And we all have one, we just don't know what it is. And what a brand is in general is, what do other people think about you? And so other people always think something about you. And when there's a collective thought, that is your brand. But no, I don't think too many people, number one, even concern themselves with it, much less try to create it intentionally. I think over the past 5 to 10 years, with all the coaching that's going on with lawyers, that some lawyers are becoming more aware of business and how do I create a business? And with a business, I have a brand. And what is that brand? So there's a segment of the population that is getting a clue. But overwhelmingly, I would say no, lawyers are just trying to do the best they can to survive in the day-to-day being lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Now, for yourself, you know, you talked about, you know, starting off as paralegal, your veteran experience, talked about, you know, running your own firm. At what point did you start to get into coaching and providing kind of counsel or advice to other lawyers?
So in 2006, when I discovered, well, it was 2003 when I discovered this VA benefit could be a planning tool versus a requirement as a last resort. And so in 2008, I started putting on 2-day seminars for lawyers to teach them about this benefit and how they could incorporate it into their businesses, how they could provide more value to their clients, which in return would provide more value to them and their law firms. So that was formal in 2008. In 2010, I joined with two other professionals who had been coaching lawyers in a different way as well. And so I became co-owner of a business called Lawyers with Purpose. And all we did was train and help estate planning lawyers have better businesses. And after 3 years, I sold my interest in that. And I continue to, you know, be a lawyer and, you know, do informal coaching and training. It was after I sold my law firm in 2020, and after I had already become a certified exit planning advisor and a certified value builder, that I launched Quid Pro Quo, where I formally, and our company formally, does valuations for law firms. We do coaching to lawyers, law firm owners, on how to enhance the value of their business, how to actually create a business versus a law practice, and then how to sell it. And then we act as broker and coach them and guide them along those lines as well. So that was in 2021.
Okay, awesome. Now, I'm curious, when you sold your interest in, you know, the other business, were you shocked of some of the way the process went, or some of the things that you learned about valuation through that process?
Not through that process when I sold my interest in that, because it was just to one of the other owners, and we had organizational documentation that outlined exactly how that would go. So there was very little negotiation in that, although there was some. The other part that wasn't shocking, that is to be expected, is how emotional and how two people or three people, get along so well in so many ways when you have what feels like a breakup, a divorce, how contentious it could be. So all that was an experience to learn from, for sure, from a relationship standpoint, not as much from a business standpoint, although I am very grateful that we had organizational documents because so many businesses don't. I mean, they just don't, whether they have partners or not. But where I learned the most from how to value a business and what that process is like when you buy and sell a business is actually when I still had my law firm and I was looking to buy another law firm. And I went through the whole process. I gave an offer. We were close. And then the seller backed out. But I learned more about what do I need to do to get ready to sell mine when I was going through looking at hers to buy hers, because I wasn't in the same condition. My own law firm was not in the same condition that I expected hers to be in when I was buying. And that was a big wake up call.
Mm-hmm. You know, that one is always very interesting because I will say is on the tech side where I spent a little bit more time before starting my own firm was buying other companies. You start really, like I said, when you really start looking at, well, what's the ideal type of business I would want to buy? And then you start looking at your own business. You're like, oh, we're not doing that. We're not.
I am not the ideal business for me to buy. Yes.
So what was that process for you like when, like I said, when you got that honest feedback of like, hey, I am not the ideal business that I'm trying to buy. Like, were you like immediately like, hey, we need to come up with a game plan on how do I fix these type of things in my own business? Or how did you handle that?
Well, unfortunately, I think that too many of us operate under a need to do basis, urgency. And I didn't have any urgency when I was looking to buy a business. I just thought, there's things I could do better. But it wasn't until I had that light bulb switch in my own brain that says, I need to sell my business and I need to sell it like yesterday, that's when I was like, okay, remember all those things? I need to put that in place. And so at that moment, when I had the urgency, when I had the desire and the true feeling of need to sell my business, that's when I started to put things in place. And that was a 3-year strategy that I outlined, I worked, and then I made come true.
Awesome. So now when you're working with other law firms, because, you know, most people probably maybe they've heard it before or maybe they haven't, is how early should they be kind of starting to plan and structure their business if they want to do an exit at some point?
Well, it really depends on what do they want to get out of it. And are they happy just selling their book of business, which is what most solo practitioners have to offer, or do they actually want to sell a real business? That's a business that can operate without them, a business that has value, despite them, independent of them. And so the other is, how burned out are they? How much time do they have? Are they willing to stay in a transition? What does that look like? So there is no right or wrong answer there, Terrell. There is no timeline that is right for everybody. We have to really assess, where are you? What do you want to get out of this? What are you still willing to do? And do you have the mental capacity, the energy to do that? That's when we then start putting a timeline in place and say, okay, based on that, this is what we recommend.
Okay, awesome. Now, one of the things that I want to talk a little bit more about is with Quid Pro Quo, I mean, in starting that business, have there been things that you've learned now that you're, like I said, on the outside of working with more law firms and you're seeing kind of some of the, you know, the position that they're in or the circumstance that they're in? Has there been more things you've learned about the sales process, you know, from that perspective that you didn't when you were, you know, going through the sale of your own firm?
Oh, for sure. And I continue to learn things every day, and I hope that I continue to forever. But one of the biggest things is, and you'll hear on my own podcast, that I kind of get on a soapbox regularly about people using a rule of thumb valuation to determine what their business is worth or what their law firm is worth. And you absolutely cannot use a rule of thumb. And one reason for that is, are we selling a book of business or are we selling an actual business? Those have two very different valuations. And the type of law that you practice will have a huge difference on what that valuation is going to result in. An estate planning firm is not going to be valued at the same as, for example, a criminal law firm. And that's not going to be valued at the same as a personal injury law firm. So the service type has a huge differentiator. And I did not know that in the beginning when I started doing this.
Gotcha. So how often do you recommend people really take a step back to really understand, like, hey, how much is my business worth? Or, hey, you know, do I have a business or do I just have a book of business? Like, how often should people, you know, take a step back and really ask themselves that question?
Well, I think that if we want to embrace the philosophy from Stephen Covey, that you start with the end in mind, then I think you should do it regularly in the beginning, and then maybe annually to see, am I on course? But we have to have a target, and we have to know where we are currently before we can then compare that with our target. And so, like when you asked the question a second ago, how much time is it? Sometimes people come to me and they're like, you know, I want to start thinking about selling my business. And I say the first step is always get the valuation. Where are we today? And after we get the valuation, there's a few different paths you can take. One is some people may get that valuation and say, oh my gosh, I would love it if somebody gave me this today, I would walk away. So that's like, you know, no time at all. Okay, then let's put it up for sale. Others are like, oh, you know, I need more than that. So now we actually can create that target and say, okay, well, if you need X, then this is what we're going to need to do based on where you are now, which is, you know, the figure on the valuation to get to X. And so I would say people should always start with a valuation, and you cannot start that too soon. In fact, I'm going through that with my own business right now, even though it's 2 years old. You can value a startup. It's not as predictable, but you can still do it. And so I would say definitely if you've been in practice 3 to 5 years, get your valuation, start putting in your plan, even if that means you're retiring in 20 years from now. What does it look like? What do you want? What do you need? And that's where having, you know, your profession be so instrumental, because then those financial controls in place that most lawyers don't have, they actually can achieve it versus a wing and a prayer. Everybody, and I know you have clients like this or have been exposed to clients like this. Well, I want to make $1 million. Well, why? And what's your plan? How are you going to get there? Well, everybody, you know, doesn't everybody want $1 million business? You're not going to get there just because you want one and because everybody else thinks it's cool.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. Now, you know, for someone who's interested in, like I said, learning a little bit more about what you do at Quid Pro Quo and how you who can help their firm and how they can even, you know, just start the thought process of what does the sale process look like or how do I even get a valuation? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The best way to check us out and see what we're about is going to our website, which is www.quidproquolaw.com. And we do just focus exclusively on law firms. And so it's www.quidproquolaw.com. That's where you hear my story and also services that we offer, but also to learn the kind of guidance that we provide on a regular basis. If you're a lawyer, whether you own a law firm or not, we invite you to become a member of our private Facebook group called The Art of Buying and Selling Law Firms. And then lastly, just like you, Terrell, we believe in education is key to everything. And so we do have a podcast called Smart Lawyers Position to Transition.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. And I will say is the episode that you did on where you talked about the difference between marketing and branding, excellent episode. I've listened to that probably 2 or 3 times already.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You're helping us get our numbers up.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap up, one final question that I love asking every guest that comes on is, you know, when you, you know, just say you're talking to someone, you're saying like, hey, I was on the Law and Finance Show with Terrell Turner. And hey, you should go listen to my conversation I had with Terrell. And hey, here are 2 big takeaways that you should take from that conversation. What would your 2 big takeaways be?
I would say one takeaway is that law firms actually can be sold, because there's a whole mind shift or mindset out there that needs to shift, that without the lawyer, then there is no business. And that is changing. It should change. And so I would say go listen to the episode to see how your mindset can change and make that shift so that you're not leaving money on the table. So that's number one. And number two is that not all law firms are created equal. In order to know what the value of your law firm is, the first step is always get a professional valuation by someone who actually focuses on law firms and not dry cleaners and not restaurants and not, you know, I mean, we could just keep going down the list, but find an expert who really knows what they're doing in this space.
Awesome. I love it. Well, Victoria, thank you so much for being an amazing guest and coming on today.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.